I think that's our desire always, to be growing in the Lord, to be developing more like Him all the time, that higher ground relationship. Thank you. That's our desire. If you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians again, we'll look at the last verses of chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. So much in this about our walk, about our life, about what Christ desires us to be and to do. And so we want to take a look at this. As we think about seeking to please Holy Spirit, we don't always think a lot about the ministry of Holy Spirit, but He is there. He is a present in the world and in Christians. So let's think about pleasing Him. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 30, the last verses of the chapter, says, "Do not grieve, Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you." He talks about the relationships in our life based on pleasing God's Spirit who lives in us if we're a Christian. He talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. But he also said in that scripture passage, "by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption." So I want to think about that aspect for a little bit. First of all, about the sealing part. Not that sealing, but seal, S-E-A-L. So if you're writing in on your notes, if you've got your outline out, which I hope you have, you write in, "Believe Holy Spirit is a seal of God's ownership." Believe Holy Spirit is a seal of God's ownership. A seal marked out what belonged to God. It marked out the relationship that we have with Him. When we think about the matter of a seal, it shows that it belongs to somebody. One of the things you do sometimes in your equipment or whatever is that you write your name on it. You make a mark on it that says, "This is mine. It belongs to me." Well, what I'm thinking of is, when he talked about the seal of God's Holy Spirit in us, it's God's way of saying, "This one is mine. This one belongs to me. I claim him as my own." And I still think it's marvelous that God sees us and he says, "I claim you. I want you. You're one of mine, and I mark you as belonging to me through the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, I'm sure we're aware, but when does Holy Spirit come into a person's life? How do you know you have Holy Spirit of God in the first place? Well, when you become a believer in Jesus, the Bible says when you receive Him as Savior and Lord, Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. So that Holy Spirit of God is a sign of our seal of God's ownership. Let me look at the scripture passages on your notes. "In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with Him, in Him with Holy Spirit of promise." Now, just some things about that verse. He says, "In Him after what?" Listening to the message of the truth. Hearing about Jesus. Hearing about who God is. Hearing about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having heard that message. But it also said what? The gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Having received the message of Christ. Having received Jesus into our life, he says, "You were sealed in Him, in God, with Holy Spirit of promise." And I'm grateful to know that today, because of our faith in Jesus, I know who I belong to. And you know who you belong to. God's gift of the Holy Spirit does that for us. The other passage says, "Now He who established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us a Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." So, the joy is knowing today, if you're a child of God, God says, "This one's mine." Do you know that for sure? Do you know in your spirit, in your heart, that I belong to God, that God has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I know I belong to Him, I've been sealed by God? The scripture says in another passage I didn't put on your notes, we belong to Christ who belongs to God. Or there's another scripture that says the Spirit of Christ in our heart bears witness that we belong to the Spirit of God. There's that identification. Now, When you come to know Christ and you receive Him as Savior and Lord, is there a sense in your spirit? You can't always explain it, but there's something in you, someone in you really, that lets you know, I belong to God and I know I belong to God. There's that sense of identification of the Spirit of God in us, if we're a child of God, that says we belong to Him and I'm sealed by God. I belong to Him by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The other thing I want to think about is that seal is a permanent seal. He says, I seal you, I mark you out as permanently belonging to Me. You will always belong to Me, forever belong to Me. Now, I know there's some people who don't always agree with some of this philosophy, but if God sealed you in Holy Spirit, and the seal is Holy Spirit, right? That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. How long does Holy Spirit live in you if you become a believer in Jesus and Holy Spirit has come in you? How long is He going to stay in you? So what are you worrying about? It's permanent sealing. God says, I give you in the gift of the Holy Spirit My mark, My seal, you're Mine, you belong to Me forever. And so that says to me that I don't have to worry when I die where I'm going. It means I know that because the Holy Spirit of God lives in me and permanently lives in me, so when I die physically, this body dies, but the Spirit that lives in me, my who I am as a person, when that Spirit leaves, does Holy Spirit still remain with that Spirit that is in your spirit? Yeah. So you're going to go to be with God. There's no hope. There's no question. There's no doubt about it. So I know I've mentioned this before. I don't worry about where I'm going when I die. I just don't like the process of getting there. None of us likes that process. I'm selfish. I want to say, God, let me go to sleep one night and wake up in heaven. But He doesn't always do that for us. He lets us go through all. But I'm grateful to know the Holy Spirit of God lives in us as a seal of God's ownership. I can know that with a sense of peace and confidence. The second part that relates to that is, believe Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. Notice He said in verse 30, by whom, by the Holy Spirit of God, you were sealed for the day of redemption. And when I think about the day of redemption, I think of the day when Jesus comes and brings an end to everything. But there's a sense of redemption, I suppose, when I die with Jesus, I go to be with the Lord. There's that joy as well. Let me read the scripture under that. It talks, the first verse, Ephesians 1:14, is a continuation of verse 13 up above. So let me read 13 and go back to 14. So put that all together. The top part of your notes, the first scripture says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and also having also believed, you were sealed in Him with Holy Spirit of promise, who is, now I'm skipping down to 13 and down your notes, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. So, having been marked out, we have the Spirit of promise. Pledge of our inheritance. God's own possession. As I think about that marked out, that seal, He said He seals us for the day of redemption. What I see in that is this. Because He has given us of His Spirit, He is saying you can be sure that I'm going to come back and get you. The price of the seal was a gift of God is having Holy Spirit. But when you pay a down payment, for instance, if you're buying a house, you don't put down $200 or $300. Most of the time, they want several thousand dollars. Why? They want you to have an investment in that process that you got enough invested. They know you're not going to back out unless something happens. Listen, how much did God invest in your salvation? The death of His Son on a cross. All that He had. Now, if He did that for us, and He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, folks, listen, He's going to come back and get us. He marks us out. He seals us with the assurance that not only did we get to go to be with Him, but there's coming this day of redemption. In John 14:8, which I didn't put on notes, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that wherever I am, you can be also. To me, that's a great joy, a great delight. And I celebrate that day of redemption. The other scripture that's on that same area says, for indeed, while we were in this tent, this is human body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who also gave us the Spirit as a pledge. A pledge. A guarantee, a down payment. Folks, listen. Thank you, God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit that seals us for permanent ownership and seals us for the day of redemption. When that final day comes, I'm glad I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be involved with the eternal purposes of God in the final triumphant victory of Jesus. Because Holy Spirit seals me. I know that. Now, I can't give you a black and white, say I can prove it. But in my spirit, I know I belong to Jesus. Because the day I came a believer in Jesus, something happened inside me. Something changed in me on that day as a kid, long time ago. Something happened to change my future, my thoughts from that day on. Not perfectly living that out, but something changed inside me. That's God's Holy Spirit, and in you the same. You can know you're sealed. Now, he goes on to say in that scripture, do not grieve Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve Holy Spirit. You mean we can grieve God's Spirit? Why do you say don't do it if you can't? That we can cause heartache, if you will, to God's Spirit. I did some checking. I didn't put it in your notes. But in the Old Testament, it talked about when Israel disobeyed God, they grieved God's Spirit. They broke God's heart. So he said, don't grieve Holy Spirit, which is the third area on your notes. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit in lists some ways. By bitterness, wrath, anger, harsh words, slander, malice. When I think about that, does the Holy Spirit of God live in you? I think we've agreed to that. I hope you have. Is these attitudes, bitterness, wrath, anger, and all that, are those characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God? So if we're doing these things as a believer, we're living out of character and in conflict with who we are in Jesus, with who God makes us. And so when we do things like that, we are dishonoring Him who lives in us. In fact, we're giving a poor picture that we say we belong to Jesus, yet we're doing things that are not characteristic of Jesus, if these things are true in our life. Now, we could spend a lot of time on them. I think most of you know what they mean. But let me just mention some of the things that we can grieve God's Spirit. He talked about bitterness. I don't know how to explain bitterness altogether, but I think bitterness comes when something happens to me that is negative. I get hurt. I get upset. And I allow that to continue. And it creates a bitter spirit in me because someone has harmed me or something has harmed me. And I've allowed that to grow inside me till I've become a bitter person. Have you ever met anybody who's bitter? They're hurting. They're struggling. But is bitterness characteristic of God? I'm glad not. So he said, when I'm bitter, I need to... I'm not a character. He talks about anger and wrath. To me, these three are probably related. Anger, to me, means I get upset about something that's going wrong. Now, is there a time when anger is okay? There's a time when anger is okay when it's against... You're angry because other people are being hurt or offended or God's word. But when it's personal, there's no room for anger. When it's against me. But I get angry. Other things happen to me. Things come and I get upset. I get mad about it. And anger comes. Then he talked about wrath. To me, anger is that spirit that comes like that. But wrath means not only do I get angry, but I explode. I pop off. I do some things further that I ought not to do. Does the devil like to get you angry? And want you to do things to get even, to get back? Wrath being poured out on us? Then he talks about harsh words. This translation uses the word clamor. But it means words, critical words, harsh words. In our lifetime, as we serve the Lord and in our relationships, I suspect that maybe all of us, if not most of us, have said some things you wish you could take back. You wish I had never said that. Because in a moment of anger or frustration, we say things because that's out of character for a Christian. It's not characteristic. So I say, God, help me not to say that. Slander means I'm speaking derogatory things about somebody. We need to be careful about what we say about other people always. I mentioned this back earlier in some of the other scriptures. If I'm saying to somebody, did you hear what so-and-so did? We're already implying something's haywire, something's wrong, something negative. We don't want to do that. Something that would tear down or destroy. Malice to me means I just deliberately plan on, I'm going to do something to you that's going to hurt you. I plan on it. It's that spirit. Now, what the Scripture says, don't do those things. Why? Because they grieve God's Holy Spirit. Not just because they're wrong, and not because they cause harm, which they do, but because it grieves the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God who lives inside me. And when I do that, He's not happy about that. So, I don't want to grieve Holy Spirit because I've been sealed by Holy Spirit. I belong to Holy Spirit. He's redeemed me for the day of redemption. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. So on the other side of your notes, let me suggest some things about pleasing God's Holy Spirit. If we can grieve Him, then we can please Him. We can make Him delighted with what we do. And I sure would like to wind up saying what I'm doing is more pleasing to God. I like to make God happy. So, the next thing is please Holy Spirit by being kind. Because in verse 32, he talks about three things. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Those three things are known in verse 32. So, as the Spirit of God lives in us, we're to be kind. I like kindness. Especially when it's coming to me. But we need to extend that to other people. The Scripture says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for us appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The kindness of God, the thoughtfulness, the caring of God, because He is kind. Has God been kind to you? Aren't you glad he didn't extend harshness to you? In the Scriptures, in the life of Jesus, who did Jesus get harsh with? Those who were pretending to be Christians or religious and weren't living it out. That's all. But with lost people, with people who are struggling, with a prostitute, with a broken, He never got harsh with them. He extended kindness. He forgave the woman at the well. He forgave the woman caught in the door. He was extending kindness to... I'm sure glad He's kind to us. Now, because He's kind to us, He calls on us to be kind to other people. Be thoughtful, considerate, paying attention to the needs of others. The other Scripture says, so those who have been chosen of God, is that us? Holy and beloved. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. He said, as chosen of God, people of God, put on several things, but kindness is one of those items. To be kind to other people. Sometimes when I see people, if I'm not careful, I may pass a critical judgment, but I don't know what's going on in that person's life. Do you realize sometimes we see things, people do stuff, and we think, well, that's, you know, we criticize them. Maybe if I knew what was going on in their heart and life, I wouldn't be so quick to criticize. They need some kindness. There's an old saying I grew up with that says you catch more flies with honey than vinegar any day. kindness, consideration, thoughtfulness. I know some of you think I'm old. That's all right. But the Spirit of God, when I'm kind to people, thoughtful to people, considerate of them and of their life and their needs and their concerns, I'm being pleasing to God's Spirit. So I want to be learned to be kind to people, just like God's been kind to me. As kind as He is to me, I want to be kind to other people as well. When you're kind to somebody, does that have effect beyond just the initial kindness? If you're kind to somebody, does it tend to go from that person to another person to another person? So like ripples in a pond. Let me ask, do we need any kindness in this country? Do we need any thoughtfulness, consideration, appreciation for one another? I think we do. So he says when we do that, we are pleasing to hold. Be kind to one another. Where does kindness start, by the way, anyway? It starts at home. Between our husband and wife, our families. Sometimes we feel like, well, you know, we love each other. And they understand us and we say, well, I don't need to be kind. Folks, we need to be kind in the initial places of our family, in our initial relationships first, so that we can be kind to other people out there. There's something wrong if I'm kind to people out here, but I'm not kind to the people in my family or the people I'm close to as a Christian. So I want to be kind. The second area is please Holy Spirit by being compassionate. This translation used the word tender-hearted, compassionate, caring. These are perhaps interrelated thoughts. The Scripture says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke to you, who spoke the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. That the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Aren't you glad for the heart of God that loves you anyway? That loves every person. I don't think when God looks down at this world and all the people who are out of His will and out of living ungodly lives and so on, that God ever stands up and gloats about your lostness and about the way you're behaving. The heart of God, I believe, has moved every lost soul who's not serving Him. He has compassion for them because Jesus died for them. He sees the result. He sees the consequence of their life. He cares about what's going to happen to them if they don't turn and allow Him to work in their life. He said, the Lord's dealings with us, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. If God can, if He's allowed to, He will always extend mercy and compassion. Do you know that? Walk through the Old Testament. How many times did He extend mercy? Compassion over and over and over. The only time we don't get is when we reject Him and don't do what He says. But if we'll turn and repent and follow Him, He extends compassion to us. He cares about us. So I believe that when I please Holy Spirit, I want to be compassionate toward others. The other Scripture says, but we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Notice the characteristic that's described here. Paul writing to the Thessalonians. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother. We had fond affection. We cared about you. You become very dear to us. May God help us. As we look at one another, have a heart of compassion for where we are and our struggles and our heartaches and our needs. The human side of us wants to say, you dummy, you shouldn't have done that. Maybe you don't, but I don't know, human nature sometimes wants to, instead of that saying, let God break our heart because that person's out of fellowship, that person's hurting, that person's not walking with Jesus, that person, that brother, sister, is struggling and needs my help. May God give us a heart of compassion to care about those who are around us. Because when I do, I please the Holy Spirit. What I think of, when you read the Scriptures, does it talk about Jesus being compassionate? The Bible says that He saw them as sheep without a shepherd and He had compassion on them. He talked about seeing the multitudes and having compassion. He cared about what was going to happen to them and their needs now and the future. But I suppose one of the greatest examples in Scripture is the account He gave of a man who went down by the road, who went down and got beat up by the robbers, and the Good Samaritan story. And Jesus said that the man who came along, the Samaritan came along, had what? Compassion on him. How did he know you had compassion? He stopped. He bound up his wounds. He took him down and cared for him and provided. That's how you know you got compassion, because you try to do something about the situation to improve it, to alleviate, to minister in some way. Sometimes we can't do a lot, but just telling somebody we love them and trying to help them is a way of showing compassion. And so we please Holy Spirit when we are compassionate. May God help us to always have compassion. I know sometimes I think, well, if I have compassion, I'll get taken advantage of, maybe. But which would you rather be, hard-hearted or compassionate? Do you suppose anybody ever takes advantage of being God's grace in their life? What do I have to complain about? Help me, Lord, to just have that sense of compassion, that heart. The world's a lot better. Last thing, please, Holy Spirit, by forgiving like God does. Please, Holy Spirit, by forgiving like God does. He said, forgiving each other as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. I want to remind us that these things I'm talking about, both not grieving Holy Spirit and pleasing Holy Spirit, is possible only by the Spirit of Christ in us. Did you realize these characteristics cannot operate in a non-Christian? These are impossible in the human level, because human beings don't function like this. So you need the Spirit of God. You need to belong to Jesus if you're going to have any of these characteristics at all. Forgive as God forgives. Is that easy? No. But how did God forgive you? How much did He forgive you? How much did He leave when He forgave you? How much left? The Scripture in your notes says, and Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant I'll make with them after these days, says the Lord, I'll put My laws upon their hearts, and on their minds I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, sometimes we talk about forgiving, and individuals sometimes think, well, I don't want to forgive because I don't want to let them off the hook. I want them to pay for what they did. Let me ask you, would you like Jesus to say, I'm not going to let you off the hook until you pay for what you did? Where would we be? Where would I be? Where would you be if Jesus did that? We'd all be gone. We'd all be down the drain. Aren't you glad He said, I'll forgive you and I'll wipe out your sins. I will not keep them against you anymore. I will change them. And I'm grateful to know today, if you're here without Jesus and you disobeyed God, He's ready to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you right now. He's not going to hold it against you. And so what He's saying is, as I read that Scripture, and in fact, if you notice, in other passages that I read up earlier, in verse 13 of Colossians, it says, forgave just as the Lord forgave you. Several times in these Scriptures I've noted, it talks about forgiving like God forgives us. And so we say, God, help me to release the hurt. Does that say it didn't hurt? No. Does that say it didn't, something happened that was wrong? No. But it says, God, help me to learn to let that go, release that, and let you take care of it.
You take care of whatever vengeance or revenge is needed. I'm going to forgive by your grace and let it go. You know as well as I do, and we've talked about it before, if you hold on to unforgiveness and struggles and pain because you've been hurt or offended, and you hold on to that, and you hold on to that, what is that going to do to you? It's so like, you know, grabbing onto a moving object and trying to stop it, and it just keeps eating inside you. It's not to your advantage to hold on either. Because God, praise His name, forgives you. And so I'm saying, God, we please Holy Spirit, and we say, help me to forgive. Now, I need to ask God to help me forgive now. As soon as I can. Because sometimes we're tempted to say, well, I'll wait till, you know, they get their comeuppance or, you know, whatever. But the longer you hold on to it, the more it digs in, the more pain it's going to cause us. I'm grateful God didn't hold on to ours. He forgives us, the Bible says, and removes it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. So I'm praying, God, teach us to forgive one another. Forgive of everything and not hold on to anything at all. And ask God to help us forget it. We'll never forget it on our own. And I'm not saying we don't remember it happened, but we at least don't let it continue to be in our mind. But we want to ask God to forget. So we please Holy Spirit when we're kind, when we're tenderhearted or compassionate, when we forgive like Jesus forgave. Aren't you glad for the forgiveness of Jesus? Aren't you glad He wiped it all out for you? Totally. And He'll help you do that, brothers, as an expression of you belong to Jesus. I picked up this article. It's in a book called A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World by Ron Lee Davis. He tells a story, which he says is a true story, of a priest in the Philippines. The priest, he said, was a much-loved man who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He had repented, but still there was no peace left. He didn't have any real sense of God's forgiveness. By the way, does the devil do that to you? Help you? He wants you to remember when you don't need to be. In his where he served, he said there was a woman who loved God very deeply, and she claimed to have visions from God, in which she heard from Christ, and Christ spoke to her. The priest was skeptical, he said. To test her, he said, next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary. The woman agreed. A few days later, the priest asked, well, did Christ visit you in your dreams? Yes, He did, she said. And did you ask Him what sin I committed? She said, yes. Well, what did He say? He said, I don't remember. Aren't you glad? He doesn't remember. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow together. You're here today and you've got struggles, you've got heartaches, you've got things you need to deal with. When you bring it to Jesus, He'll forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've been, where you are. When you're ready to forgive, ready to release Him and cry out to God for forgiveness, He will forgive. If you've got bitterness, anger, wrath, you got some of those things in your life that are bugging you, would you ask Him to come and deliver you from them? Would you pray, Holy Spirit, help me learn to be more kind, compassionate, and forgiving like you are? Now, maybe you're here today and you need to say, God, help me to forgive this person that's been in my life and I've been dealing with it too long. Jesus, come and help me forgive and let that go because you forgave me. If you're here and don't know Jesus, I pray you'll ask Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins. Forgive you most of all for shutting Him out of your life until this very day. And ask Him to come and take over, and He will. Dear Lord, I thank You that You see all of our hearts. We want to be people who please Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to grieve Him. And Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit that's here among us. And the person of the Holy Spirit are in this room talking to every person. Give us courage to listen and to obey. May Your Spirit have full control of these moments, Lord. and of our response to what You have said to us in these moments. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your kindness. I thank You for Your compassion. I thank You that You forgive again and again and again. Help us to do the same. We commit these moments of decision to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ryan and I will be here. Be glad to share with you, pray with you. You just want to come and pray about something, do that. Let's stand together as we sing.